Rope-a-Dope has announced a new strategic partnership with City of Gold Arts to launch Africarise, a new label group focusing on the art and music of Africa, with a vision of representing artists from South Africa and beyond who are documenting their African heritage while fully embracing contemporary styles. And here to talk about this exciting new venture, Director of Public Programs and Education Resources at Jazz at the Lincoln Center. He's also a writer, a broadcaster, and now we add founder of Africarise under his name. Kofifi FM talking to us from New York this Sunday. Please welcome Seton Hawkins.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for making time.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us. You know, Seton, you have recently announced a new partnership with the U.S. label Rope-a-Dope, which is home to Linda Skakani, Bagiti Kumalo, and Mbuso Koza, amongst an incredible catalogue of international musicians. A collaboration you are calling Africarise. What is it all about?
So the idea behind this was to establish a platform to promote mostly South African jazz, but I think more broadly, the jazz of Africa, and obviously South Africa being the most prominent, having the strongest, deepest, and most long-standing jazz tradition. And the idea was to provide something for Rope-a-Dope that could be curated thoughtfully and provide a very wide range of insight into the music that's being produced. So the way this relationship works is the artists themselves are licensing the albums to Africarise and Rope-a-Dope. And then my not-for-profit, which is called City of Gold Arts, also helps with that. And then through that licensing deal, we do a distribution of physical and digital product. So that's how we've set it up. And I'm really excited about that because I think that's a really beneficial relationship for the artists participating. They retain ownership of their work. Don't ultimately find themselves beholden to a record label, but they also get to benefit from the fact that Rope-a-Dope is such an established and deeply respected label. So I think that's a really lovely setup that we've managed to achieve.
I also want, I think, to explore a little bit more, you know, and maybe find out why was it important, I guess, you know, to create a platform of this nature, Seton.
Sure. So I grew up in the United States. We moved here when I was 4 from Johannesburg. And when I was getting into jazz in the 1990s as a teenager, that was right when Sheer Sound and Melt 2000 were releasing that extraordinary run of albums. So Trains to Taung and Zymology and Jeans and Spirits, all of those were coming out at that point. But the only way you could get them, if you were in the United States, was either through mail order or through family going and picking it up at, you know, Look and Listen or Musica. And so it made it very hard to stay connected if this was music someone wanted to pursue. In the States, the albums you could find easily were ones that had relationships and distribution with American labels. So you could find Hugh Masekela's catalog pretty easily. You could find Abdullah Ibrahim's. You could find Miriam Makeba's. And from then on out, it would get difficult. And so there was a lot of internet searching and mail order with the company One World to get albums as they were coming out. And for me, I felt it was worth it. But I also wouldn't want somebody else to have to go through all of that. And I also think that it limits the exposure the South African artists can get when it's that level of kind of gatekeeping. So I think it's important that there is a relationship where this music is much more readily accessible and promoted. Now, I know that since when I was growing up, it's obviously easier now with digital distribution, with Bandcamp, but I still think there is a lot to be said for a label committing to supporting this particular style and these artists.
Thank you. Of course, we're chatting to Seaton here on the KJ Show, and it is all about Africa Rise, a brand new conversation that we're having. And it is a label that is aimed at, you know, increasing the reach or widening the reach, maybe, you know, of the African artist or the African jazz artist in particular. I want to also, you know, explore a little bit more about the kind of work, you know, that the label is going to be doing on the ground. You know, please do tell.
Sure. So we are launching the first two albums on April 5th, and the initial release schedule is going to be six releases in 2024. So April 5th, we are releasing a new album from Steve Dyer called Nshizweni.
Yeah.
And we're releasing a new album from Makoim Khubata and a band he has in the U.S. called Siabulela. That album's called Lullaby for Kayoyo, which is the title track is a lullaby for his grandson. And so we're going to be supporting those two releases. Steve and McCoy both have performances in the U.S. they're going to be doing. McCoy will be doing a very exciting gig in April at SF Jazz in San Francisco. Steve has a pretty big event coming up in June at Lincoln Center proper in an outdoor space called Walter Damrosch Park. That's going to coincide with the commemoration of the Soweto Youth Uprisings. And so we're trying to tie some of these releases to gigs in the United States and tie that to travel support and visa support to try to ease some of that challenge that comes with trying to arrange U.S. tours and get U.S. Visibility. Mm. We're also going to be arranging for a dedicated PR person to be doing some of the promotion and to push it with radio and with press outlets here in the States. In June, we have the second round of releases. One is going to be a piano album from Aaron Rimbui. So Aaron is Kenyan, but Aaron spoke or speaks all the time about how his frame of reference with his piano playing draws, yes, heavily from McCoy Tyner, yeah, but also very heavily from Bekim Seleku and Abdullah Ibrahim, and that his reference point is so heavily South African jazz. So he will be releasing an album through Africa Rise. And then we'll also have a new album from Tembelihle Dunjana, which will be her follow-up album. Yeah. And she recorded that here in New York back in December. Mm. But that will come out in June as well. Oh. And then the two we haven't yet announced, but they're going to be in September of this year.
I think you've given us a lot to go on, a lot to chew on, you know, at this point. And by the time we get around to finishing that, you'll be ready with the next assignment, or in fact, the next announcement, as it were. Now, with the local jazz, I think you've kind of noticed, maybe, you know, I'm assuming here on the socials anyway, you know, there's a bursting, there's a scene, jazz scene that's just bursting at the seams here, you know, in Johannesburg, in the scene, in fact, all over the country. You know, incredible young artists sitting, you know, that are asserting themselves as, you know, wanting to be, you know, counted, as it were, you know, as part of the jazz scene. Now, will the label be looking into artist development, you know, as part of the offering?
Hopefully. I mean, it's tied to a not-for-profit organization, which is the one I mentioned called City of Gold. And the idea behind City of Gold is to provide a little bit of infrastructure for artists who want to be doing more work in the States. You know, right now the resources are very limited. It's very much a bootstrapping operation right now in terms of trying to get things off the ground. But I think that would be a wonderful place for it to end up. You know, if we think about South African jazz visibility in the States, one of the things that I think we have to contend with is that South Africa is playing catch up in terms of visibility. When sanctions and cultural sanctions were imposed during apartheid, a lot of things around the pipeline that would allow for artists to be touring and develop those relationships, those didn't form. And if you compare it with, say, artists, say, West Africa, you'll see more artists are more regularly touring in the United States.
That's
and
right,
we do need
yes.
to get there with South Africa. So I think that would be crucial. The other thing that I think is very important is by getting artists to the States more, the other thing that I think needs to happen is getting American jazz musicians to be more aware of and more comfortable with South African jazz styles. There's a wonderful saxophone player named Salim Washington, who actually taught until quite recently at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, he makes a point that he feels that Marapi and Bakanga should be known to American jazz musicians the way, you know, Afro-Cuban styles are known to them, or the way samba and bossa nova in Brazil are known to them, where maybe they're not experts, but they at least are somewhat conversant in how to play it. I think that would be a wonderful space to get to.
Okay, so will we be having an official launch, you know, for Africarise in the city here at home? Because I know you almost just like you appear, you know, we don't know you're coming, but then you're just here, you know. So is there an official launch maybe?
There isn't one yet. I've put in an ask to a couple groups to see if we could do something, perhaps later in the year.
Yeah.
So we're trying to sort that out. The other thing that we're trying to make a plan for is the distribution within South Africa. Mm. Because I think one thing all of us have also noted is that there's been a double-edged sword in recent years, where on one hand, there's been a very exciting string of reissues of some classic South African jazz companies in England, Canada, Germany. But those materials and those new reissues don't readily make their way to South Africa. And that's not a criticism of those companies, because they're working with limited resources and importing is, especially with vinyl, very hard. Mm. But a plan needs to be made there, because what I think a lot of people have said is there is something that feels very, and understandably so, wrong about all of this cultural treasure of South Africa being reissued and supported and brought, you know, to audiences outside of South Africa, but not being delivered back into South Africa as well. So we need to make sure that as we're building Africarise, that we're making a proper plan for that as well.
And of course, I think all the best, you know, with all this work. And of course, we look forward to this incredible, you know, a journey that you're now traveling on, and putting our best foot forward. I think that's the right phrase to use, because that's exactly what you'll be doing. You know, putting our best foot forward. And to everyone who's involved in this wonderful project, all the best, and also looking forward to what awaits the jazz listener. I think the most important part of all this work is the jazz listener and what awaits that. Of course, here on the K Jazz Show, he is the founder of Africarise. His name is Seton Hawkins, and he is on the K Jazz Show.
The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.